This morning, I want to continue the message that we started last week, Rediscover Church. And last week, we spoke about God's people. And today, I want us to look at the assembly. Those of you who know me will know that I always speak or in terms of not church, but always in terms of the assembly. I refer to us as an assembly. Go with me, if you would, into Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 15 through to verse 23. Whether that's physical or electronic, turn with me now and we will read together. And it says this: "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that you may know what it is the hope to which he has called you." Isn't it good to know that God has called you to a hope? "What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places?" Then verse 21, "Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he puts all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church." Listen, hear that. Let me just read that again. "Gave him," that is Christ, "as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." The Greek word that we translate in that text as church is the word ecclesia. It's from where we get English words such as ecclesiology. And when we talk about ecclesiology, we're simply talking about the way that we do church, the way that our rituals, our procedures, our liturgies. When we talk about ecclesiology, it's just the way that we as a gathered people do church together. The name ecclesia comes from the verb, or that an action word that means to call out. It means to call out, and it's this idea that a group of people are formed by being called out of something in order to form a larger or a different group of individuals. It's also a group called for a special purpose. And remember, last week I spoke about the fact that we are God's people and the fact that we are his treasured or special or peculiar, depending on which translation you want to use, people. And God has called us out as the ecclesia to be a special people. We are called out of the world through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for a special purpose of God. God has a very special purpose for each one of us. In the secular Greek, in the New Testament, the word ecclesia has a very specific meaning. And it means, or it meant, governmental body. The word ecclesia in New Testament Greek means governmental body. And it's used this way three times in the 19th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. We read there about a riot that broke out in Ephesus because of Paul's preaching and his ministry. And so we read there in the 19th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit, in the 32nd verse, we read, "Now some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly," everyone say that, "assembly, was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together." Again, the people were, in the context, were holding an organized but unauthorized meeting, and the town clerk or the official of the town reviewed them and told them that they had no right to congregate and to meet in the way that they were meeting. And again, in verse 39 of that 19th chapter, we read this: "But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly." Everyone say assembly. The word is used again in the 41st or the verse of that 19th chapter, and it says this: "And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly." Say assembly. We need to get hold of this idea, friends. We need to understand that the meaning of this word that we habitually translate as church actually means to be a legal or a governmental assembly. And so the governmental assembly, friends, as we look in the Word of God, is the first picture that we see when we look into the mirror of His Word. We are called to be an assembly, a people called out to be a special people. I want to spend a little time right now just looking at the qualifications for entry into the assembly of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you are thinking, well, I didn't realize there were any qualifications. Well, if we look in the scripture, I think we'll find some guides and some measures, perhaps in terms of what God is looking for if we want to be a part of His assembly. Because remember, it's not my assembly. It's not even your assembly. It's His assembly, and we are just called to be a part of it. Let's read, put your finger in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 18. And it says this: "He," that is Jesus, "said to them, 'But who do you say I am?'" And isn't that a great question? It's always a question that we need to ask ourselves. Whether you're watching today for the first time, maybe you've not made a decision toward Jesus, and that's a question that God asks every single one of us before we come into relationship with Him. We are forced or confronted with the question, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," and that just means son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And Jesus was not just talking about Peter, but He was using a reference to his name, because the name is Petra, which means rock. And Peter, having heard that, came out boldly and proclaimed that, "Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah." Friends, we need to understand something significant this morning, that the revelation of Peter didn't come by natural reasoning or indeed logic. And if you have not made a decision toward Jesus, you will not come to a revelation as to who He is by natural reasoning and understanding. It has to be revelation from God the Father through His Holy Spirit. There is no other way that we can come to know Jesus except through revelation of the Holy Spirit. It was the case then, and it remains the same today. It didn't reveal, or Peter's revelation, or the Holy Spirit didn't reveal Jesus of Nazareth as the carpenter son, because Peter already knew who He was. Peter already knew Him as the carpenter son. But the revelation of the Holy Spirit instead revealed Jesus as His divine eternal nature, as the Son of the living God, as the Messiah. Hallelujah. And those of us who are in Christ have only come to that same revelation because of the Holy Spirit. You know, I believe today that there are countless number of people in God's church, in the assembly, or a given membership into various assemblies, when they have not even received this most basic of revelations: the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the absolute, basic qualification into the assembly of God is that we enter into that revelation, we come into that revelation, and with our voices and with our hearts, we confess Jesus to be Lord, Son of the living God. And because there are those in God's assembly that have not had that revelation, the church cannot function in all the authority that God himself, that Jesus himself bestowed upon us, because church members don't even qualify to be part of his assembly. Are you hearing that? The church today has been robbed, I believe, of some of its power and authority because there are those amongst our numbers who don't even believe that Jesus is who he says he is. People attend church for a variety of reasons. Often they come because of the social context. They like the atmosphere. They like meeting people. And hear me right, there is nothing wrong with that. People need to have a sense of belonging. And I'm not opposed to people coming to church just because they want a sense of belonging. But there comes a point, friends, when they have to move from just a sense of belonging to a place of believing. When the Holy Spirit asks you the question, who do you say that Jesus is? Hallelujah. You see, Jesus, when he said in that 16th chapter of Matthew categorically stated and defined something. He said this. He said, you, Peter, and on this, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Let's hear that again. He said, I will build my church. He's not saying he'll build my church or, you know, church that looks like, he's not even saying he'll build a church that looks like you or with your personal preference. Jesus' emphasis is on my church. In other words, his church. The emphasis is on my church, my assembly. Jesus, in effect, was saying that there are many kinds of assemblies. But what he's saying in this moment is that he is now going to build my or his assembly. In other words, he's going to build an assembly of people that isn't fashioned in the likeness of our preferences or our personal likes or even what we think, but he's going to build a church that is fashioned and glorifying to God, a church that he himself has pictured and visioned in his heart. You see, we are in a new moment of time. You know, we're hopefully coming out of a time of lockdown. And one of the things that I'm absolutely convinced about is that God's church will not be the same church that went into this moment that we are in or coming through now. You see, I absolutely believe that God wants a different kind of church. God wants a different people, a different assembly. And I go as far as to say that what we were doing before, or some of what we were doing before, wasn't actually what God wanted. You know, hear me. And maybe some of you right now, in this moment, need to just hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I don't care how long you've been in church. It's not about how long you've been in church. It's about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't care how long you've been in church or been a part of church. Have you determined in your heart that you want to be the person that God himself has determined you to be? Too often, we want church or the assembly to be the way that we want it. You want it the way that you want it. You know, people don't leave church because of God or even because of Jesus. People leave churches or assembly because of other people. Story is told of a pastor who was speaking on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when the pastor had finished speaking, when she'd finished speaking, a woman went up to her and said, excuse me, pastor, but we don't have those sorts of things in our church. And the pastor said, well, they have them in the church of Jesus Christ. And sometimes, friends, we think that the assembly is about us, our personal preference, what we want. It's not. It's always about Christ Jesus. It is his church, and we conform, we are called to conform into his likeness. Let me ask you a question. Which church is it that you belong to? Is it one of your own design, one fashioned in your own preference? Or is it the church of Jesus the Christ? Is it the church that Jesus said of Peter, that upon you I will build my church? Let me suggest that there are four parts, if I can break this down, to the entry into the assembly of Christ Jesus. There is confrontation, there is revelation, there's acknowledgement, and there is confession. Jesus used Peter as an example, and so because he used Peter as an example, I want to do the same as we look at that moment with Peter. First of all, we see that there is a direct confrontation. Peter met Jesus face to face. There was no getting away from him. If you like, Jesus was in his face, up in his face, in his space. There was no getting away from him. There was no one between Peter and Jesus. No mediator, no middleman. And friends, if you want the revelation of who Jesus is, then you can't come via someone or something else. You have to have a direct meeting, a direct confrontation, a direct encounter with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Put it in the chat this morning if you're agreeing. Then there is the revelation that is granted. The revelation granted by God the Father, through whom the Holy Spirit brings the revelation. You see, without the revelation, Peter would never have said what he said. I've already stated he couldn't have arrived at that out of natural understanding, logic, or reason. But his confession came out of and only out of the revelation that the Holy Spirit himself brought. And then there is the acknowledgement of the revelation. Peter acknowledged the revelation when he responded to Jesus' question, who do you say that I am? And lastly, there is the confession of the revelation. Peter confessed out loud, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And let me tell you, friends, if you are part of God's assembly, there is no time for being silent, a silent witness, as it were. And I know in this day and age, silent witness has a different meaning. It means that you're dead. And maybe that's the case, because without the life of the Spirit, it says we are dead to the things of God. And so, friends, there is no place for the silent witness. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to be loud and proud and declare that he is the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. And then the word, it talks about our earthly authority. And the New Testament tells us clearly that Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God. Jesus is on his throne right now, reigning in glory. And part of the future hope that we as believers, as students of Jesus have, is that one day, too, we will reign with Christ in glory. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful hope to look forward to, that we too will one day reign in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ? But the reality is this, that sometimes we forget that Jesus is ruling and exercising his sovereignty right now. We forget that we think that it's sometime in the future. We forget that his enemies have been already subdued under his feet. We forget that he is ruling right now in our midst. We forget that he is ruling in the midst of his enemies. Listen to Psalm 110, verse 2, that reminds us, the Lord sends forth from Zion, and Zion always is a reference to the redeemed people of God, the assembly. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. And again, Psalm 23, verse 5, which many of you will be familiar with. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Listen, note there that Jesus, that God tells us that he doesn't take us aside. He doesn't do it in a back room. But when God works, he works right in the midst of his enemies. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's sovereign. Because he is Lord of all. Because who does he need to fear? He doesn't need to do it in the shadows somewhere. But God does what he does right in the midst, in the face of our enemies. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, Jesus is ruling on a Sunday. And some Christians think that the only time that Jesus rules and reigns is on a Sunday when we gather together praising God. But friends, you need to know that Jesus is ruling and reigning right now in glory in every circumstance over all things. Glory to God. Friends, when we grasp the fact, I tell you, it will significantly change the way that we live. It will change our prayers. It will change our intercession. It will change our fasting. It will change through our proclamation of the gospel. It will change our committed lifestyle. Friends, we are being utilized by Christ Jesus in the midst of his enemies. It doesn't matter what is happening right now. God is doing a work in you to change and to transform and conform you into the likeness of Jesus. And it doesn't matter how bad your circumstance, your situation seems around you. God is doing something in the midst of your enemies even now. Somebody give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, friends, as students of Jesus, we're like the rod of Moses. In the account of the deliverance of Israel, the rod is the symbol of authority. The final deliverance of God's people couldn't take place before Moses learned how to use the rod in his hand. And likewise, friends, the completion of the destiny of God's people won't take place until we learn to use the rod that he has placed in our hands, until we learn to function in a unified governmental system. Hear that, governmental way as his assembly, the governing body of God, not in an age to come, but right now, here and now. Come on, church. Come on, church. You need to pick up. You need to pick up what I'm putting down right now because it's important. We're not ruling and reigning in a future time, but we are ruling and reigning right now. And we cannot talk about authority without looking at Matthew 18, 18 to 20. Jesus said this, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask," or you could put in that word, unify or come in harmony, whatever you want. "If two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." And friends, notice that the initiative is not with heaven, but it's with earth. When we agree on earth, heaven does the work, but we initiate it. When we bind and loose on earth, it is bound and loosed in heaven. Our agreeing, friends, binds and looses things. That our binding and our loosing is made effective as we gather together as a unified assembly. And that's why, friends, it's so important that we come together. Look, you can't do church in your living room. You can't do church in your bedroom. You can't do church from your house. It's important that we come together because there is something significant that happens when we come together in one heart, one mind, one spirit, and we are unified as the assembled people of God. Hallelujah. Heaven takes notice of our request and our petitions, and they become effective when we have a unity, when we take up the authority as the ruling assembly in the here and now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to bring this into land now. And the last question I want to ask you to consider is, you know, what has God made you? Because the assembly can only function when we recognize that each one of us has a gifting. There's no one surplus to God's requirements. There's no one surplus to requirements in the kingdom of God. So what has God made you? What is your office? What is your function? What has God called you to in his assembly? Friends, every person has a gift. The Greek word is the word charisma. All of us have charisma, although some of you might doubt it. But all of us have charisma. That is, all of us have a gift. Hallelujah. And so, church, so, assembly, as we ease out of lockdown, I want to challenge you to be more serious about your commitment to the assembly. No one, friends, would act casually without discipline in a legal context. No one would dream to act casually in a courtroom. And yet many believers in God's assembly act exactly that way, even though his assembly is a far higher authority than an earthly one. Friends, attend the assembly consistently. Don't plan on staying away, but begin to plan how you are going to come back. Be consistent, be punctual, plan to serve in some capacity, and appreciate the fact that you are part of an important movement, the people of God, God's assembly. Friends, give the assembly your very best. Give it your very best attitude. Give it your very best in service. The essential feature of the assembly of God is that of governmental authority that God has deposited amongst his people. And friends, we will not be in a position to govern our worlds and our places unless we first learn to govern ourselves. God, friends, has destined us to govern our world. He has made us the instrument of government here on earth. And as we finish looking at the assembly, what a challenging picture we see in the mirror of his word. Friends, what a position God has called us to as part of his assembly. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, right now, I just pray, Lord, for those hearing the message right now, that you, Holy Spirit, even as you're the one who brings understanding and revelation, would just water the word, that those things that would cause effect and change in our lives would come in to land, and you, Holy Spirit, would water it. Father, we pray, Lord, let not the cares and the concerns and the challenges of the world rob us of the word that you want to grow in us, to conform us more into the likeness of Jesus. And so, Father, as we begin to ease out of this lockdown, would you speak to us individually, would you speak to us corporately, that we might understand and know the plan, the purpose to which you have called us to as an assembly of people, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.